Good morning. It's good to see you. And hope that you enjoy the services today. And more than that, that you find that what we're doing is scripturally. And last week we didn't do too well, so we're going to do better today. Is that Sheila back there? Wow. It's good to have Sheila with us. Wonderful. I did not see you there, so it's wonderful to have you. I want you to turn, and I'm going to read again what we had read before. And we're going to make a decision. And they had a decision to make then, and we need to make decisions today. In John 3, 31 through 36, the one who comes from above is over all. The one who is from the earth and speaks from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is over all. What he has seen and heard, this he testifies. And no one accepts his testimony. The one who accepts his testimony has attained that God is true. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God, for he does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life. But the one who disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So that's our text today, and that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to start just with that verse 331. The one who comes from above is over all. The one who is from the earth is from the earth, and he speaks from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is over all. As we look at this, John explains why Jesus is greater than all. I want you to think about, why is Jesus greater than everybody else? And everybody else that you think about comes from the earth. They've never been to heaven. They didn't see God. They haven't seen all of these things. He is echoing the very first thing that he noticed. And if you see, he said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now this is why he is greater than all, is where he came from. He came from God, he came from heaven, he came here upon the earth, took upon him human form, and therefore is greater than all others. In John 1:44, then the Word, 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now that's amazing. When you think about it, for God to dwell here on the earth, as I told the story many years ago about the people in Minnesota, and they were there in their home, and the fellow had went to church with his wife every day, every Wednesday night and every Sunday. And finally, he quit going to church, and he said, I just can't accept this idea that Jesus became flesh, that God would become flesh. That's just an impossibility. And so as he sat there in his room, and his wife was taken off to Wednesday night Bible class, and it was in the snow, and it was cold, and he was sitting by the fire, and he heard a bird hit his window. He didn't know what it was. He thought maybe some kids would come out there, and then another. Trying to get into the warmth. And he looked out, and there were a bunch of blackbirds. And as he looked at the blackbirds, he said, I've got to get them into a place where they're not freezing. And so he went and opened the barn door, turned on the light, and he tried to move them. They wouldn't move. They scattered in every direction. And he finally said, well, I'll take some feed. And he put some feed along. And as he did that, the birds wouldn't follow him. And it hit him, oh, if I could only just be one of them for a minute, I could direct them there. And that hit him. And he decided he would go back to church. Just think about it. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. Do you realize how humiliating that is to him? Do you realize just how that is for Jesus to become flesh? And we saw his glory, glory as of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. Everything that Jesus did had those two things in mind. One, grace, that is, I want to give you favor. I want you to be favored by God, and then I want to give you truth. And truth without grace is a horrible thing because it exposes who we are and what we are. But it says that he gives us grace and truth, and therefore we get forgiveness. This contrasts with the prophetic calling of John the Baptist and all the prophets before him, who were merely humans speaking a message that God had given them. In other words, this is God speaking to man and man then giving that message. But this is the one that has been in heaven. He did not come from the world. He came from heaven, and therefore he can talk about heaven and tell you everything that we need to know. Now that's amazing. It's amazing that God would humble himself, bring himself down to the place that God says, I want to be among you, I want to help you, I want to show you, I want to explain to you, I want to introduce you to God and what he is like and what he does. Because Jesus said, I'm only going to do the things that the Father, I've seen him do. And if he's doing that, you and I can look at him and we can study him and we can say, I have just discovered God. You realize that most people never discover God. All they have to do is look in the Word of God and follow Jesus and really follow him. I don't mean read about him. I mean to follow him. When he goes on a road trip, go with him and imagine yourself being there and seeing the things that are there, and you will know what God is like. Doesn't the Bible say that those that are following God, they shall see God? Doesn't the Bible say that? Pagey, can you see God as Jesus says, I want to introduce him to you. Hello, Pagey, I am God, and I want you to know what God is like, how he thinks, and what he does, and it's an exciting time. Only Jesus can reveal these heavenly things. I want us to get that. If I want to get the message about heaven, and you know we know very little about heaven, but if we know who is there, if we know that God is there, if we know that Jesus is there, if we know that our Savior is there, I want to be there. I want to be able to walk up and say, I'm here and I'm a part of you. You remember, you got me, and Jesus has done that. And that which is from above is always higher than that which is below. So it's a wonderful thing whenever you think about Jesus coming here and saying, I want to introduce you to God, and I'm going to explain him to you in such a way that when I finish, I will melt your heart and you will be mine. He has seen the Father in the completeness of the Father. Now, you can't see a spirit. But Jesus has been with him so closely that you can't hardly tell the two apart. Didn't Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? And that wasn't a physical form. That was how he was dealing with things and what he was doing. The earth man, even John the Baptist and John the Apostle, they could only explain God from the viewpoint of what they saw in Jesus. And you can only be born from above. In other words, we're going to be born again. You have to be born from above. How do I do that? Well, Jesus is going to explain it. Jesus is going to point out, and even through the apostles, how we are born again. John, then, that's why he said, I must decrease and he must increase, for the simple reason that he nowhere compares to Jesus Christ. In John 3:22, What he has seen and heard, this he testifies, and no one accepts his testimony. So Christ is testifying about something that he has seen. You know, one of the greatest testimonies is when you really see something. Have you noticed something that's happening in the government today? They're telling you not to believe your lying eyes. We can see it. We can see it. But he says, that's not happening. And we say, wow, I'm so political that my eyes are deceiving me. I'm not seeing it. Jesus said, I've seen it. I have seen it with my own eyes. And we're talking about his spiritual eyes. And he is going to reveal what he has seen and heard. And he said, no one accepts his testimony, and that's a hyperbole, means that he is exaggerating. There were some people that had heard. In John 3, 12 and 13, I tell you earthly things, and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And remember, that's when he was talking to Nicodemus. I'm telling you some earthly things that you ought to know. And if you don't believe the earthly things I'm telling you, how can you believe the heavenly things I tell you? Why do you think Jesus used earthly parables? Parables that you could actually see, and then he's going to interpret them for you if you will let him. And so he uses earthly things, and if you don't believe those things, how can you believe the heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. So Jesus comes here, and he says, I'm going to explain things that you have never seen and you have never even imagined. Now, he's going to do it while he's here, but also after he sends the Holy Spirit to the apostles, and they will explain exactly what Jesus is saying. And they're going to see Jesus in a different way than they saw him whenever he was here upon earth. When they were here upon earth, do you remember he told Peter, when you're converted? In other words, Peter had not yet really been converted. He did not really believe in all of the essence of Jesus. After Jesus' resurrection, he now understands Jesus, and he says that, John says, that which we've seen, that which we've heard, we're going to explain to you so that you can have the same fellowship with us that we have. So he is telling us a wonderful thing. He is showing us what heaven is like. He is showing us, because heaven is heaven because God is there. And hell is hell because God isn't. In John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. Now, any time that people saw God, it was called a theophany. That is, God appeared like something that he was not, but like a human or what have you. The one and only God, the one who is the bosom of the Father, that one has made him known. Now the question is, do you know God, angel? Do you know God? Because Jesus has revealed him. I see God when I see him. Those that were walking with him did not see him, mainly until after he was risen from the dead. Jesus can reveal and do what he has seen and done with the Father. Can you imagine God working in heaven? You know, when the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day, do you think he quit working? Or do you think he's still working every day? And Jesus said, I've been with him and I've seen what he's done, and I'm showing you here upon earth what he does. And I want you to believe it. I want you to understand it. No one accepts Christ's testimony. That's what I said is a hyperbole. A few did receive. Do you remember what he said over in John 1:11 and 12? He came to his own, he came to his own things, and his own people did not receive him. But as many as received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave to them authority to become children of God. In other words, if I really believe in Christ, he said, you have authority now from the heavenly place to become a child of God. Well, how do you become a child of God? Well, through what the scriptures tell you. But it's not so much the scripture, it's what the apostles are telling it. And what the apostles are telling us is exactly what Jesus told us. What he is telling us, and I want you to get this, he is telling us spiritual things. Now, you can't see spiritual things because our thinking muddles everything up. I have to go deeper than that and say I am lacking something. And lacking something, I want to see that which I am lacking. And that's called spirituality, as he reveals to us how to think and how to see. And we're going to see things that we have not seen before. In John 5, 19 through 23, so Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing from himself except what he sees the Father doing. For whatever that one does, these things also the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will show him, so that you will be astonished. For just as the Father raises the dead and makes them alive, thus also the Son makes alive whomever he wishes. For the Father does not judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all people will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. The one who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you that one who hears my word and believes the one who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has death passed from death to life. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that you have passed from death to life? I have it now. When I die, my body may go away, but I am going to live. For truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and the ones who hear will live. In other words, there's going to be a day when the dead are resurrected. But right now, those that are dead spiritually, they are going to hear this voice, and it's going to give life to them. I'll tell you what. When you have life, you have quality. And that quality of life is an exciting life. How excited do you get at being a child of God and knowing that you have eternal life? Just as the Father has life in himself, thus also he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has granted him authority to carry out judgment because he is the Son of Man. Being the Son of Man, that is, born from a woman, and taking on the form of a servant, God, and dying, God has given him every bit of authority. And we are to operate based upon the authority of Jesus Christ. I think this is one of the things that's lacking in the church today, is we have lost the sense of authority. And I think that's what's missing in our schools today, is we've lost the sense of authority. Authority means that there is a rule by which we walk, and there is a rule also that goes above this physical and goes into the spiritual, and Jesus is giving us that. And so he says, do not be astonished at this, because an hour is coming in which all those in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will come out, those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have practiced evil things to a resurrection of judgment. I am able to do nothing for myself, just as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Think about that. Won't you like to be standing there when you watch all the graves open up? And here comes the dead. Here comes those that are alive. Here comes those that I knew. Here comes those. And all of a sudden I say, well, yeah, there. I remember them. He says, don't be surprised. It's going to happen. Do we really believe that, or do we live our life as though this is it? We have a philosophy that we drink all the beer we can because this is the life we have. There is another life coming, the real life, and we ought to pay attention to that. We ought to pay attention to the one that's going to give us the resurrection. Everybody will be resurrected, but only a few are going to heaven. Jesus is only testifying what God has done. In John 1, 32 and 33, and John testifying said, I have seen the Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and remaining on him. And I think I skipped one there, didn't I? You remember he said in there, he has the Spirit without measure? And that's what he's referring to. I've seen the Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and remaining on upon him. In other words, all the miracles that Jesus does, he simply commands the Holy Spirit to do it. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe in miracles today? Some people say, yeah, and I've got other people to say no, that all the miracles ended. Well, the miracles haven't ended for the simple reason that we know there's going to be a resurrection. That's a miracle. That's contrary to everything that we know. But do not think that God has ended miracles. I don't know that I can tell you of one that I've ever seen in my life. And yet I think I could tell you a lot of them that I've seen. Can I prove that they were miracles? No. But to me, they were miracles. So he says, and I did not know him, that is Christ, I didn't know he was the Messiah, but the one who sent me to baptize with water, that one said to me, the one upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now I want to ask you the question, what do you think it means to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? First of all, it means that they were able to speak the things of God coming directly to them because God had taken over their body, had taken over their tongue, and their tongue is released and they are telling on the day of Pentecost the wonderful miracles that God was doing. Number two, it means also that we are all baptized of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we're all baptized into one Spirit. And if that's true, then his baptism is even greater than our physical baptism. Whenever we're physically baptized, what is happening is something is happening spiritually. Now, the outward is only representing that what's going on in the inside. When you go into the water, something is happening inside of you. And what's happening inside of you is God is taking control. God is there. And for the first time, he is accepting you. He's taking away the sin out of your heart, and you stand justified before God. All of a sudden, you have died to yourself, you have come alive in Christ, and you stand justified before God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful to think about that we have been justified in God? In Isaiah, the 42nd chapter and verse 1, he says, look, here is my servant, talking about Christ. I hold him, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit on him. He will bring justice forth to the nations. Do you know what justice is? Justice means that everybody is going to be treated right. And everybody stands before him, and they will be treated right. One of the great things is I do not want justice whenever I come before Christ. I want his mercy. Now, everybody will get justice unless they're on the mercy side. In Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord, Yahweh, is upon me. Because Yahweh has anointed me, he has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim, to release the captives, and liberation to those who are bound. I want you to see something. Do you like good news? Really ask yourself that. Do you like good news? I mean, we turn on the news and we're not getting very good news today, but I'm going to tell you there's good news if you listen to Jesus. He is there to bring you good news. The good news is from the heavenly place. The good news is from the Father. He is coming to give you good news. Donovan, I want to give you some good news. You have worried about your salvation. Quit worrying about it. God has saved you. Good news. There's a way that you can get right with God. And to the oppressed, to bind up. Have you ever felt oppressed? Sheila, have you ever felt oppressed? Just feel like everybody's against me. You've never felt that? Oh, I felt that the world is against me for a long time. And it's sad. Because I want to bring them good news, but they won't hear it. And I had wanted at one time to want something to know I was saved. I was so oppressed that I didn't know what to do. And then I heard about Jesus. Then I heard that I could be saved. Then I heard about salvation. Then I heard that it was for me and that God wanted to choose me. And it made all the difference in the world to me. The brokenhearted. You know, I learned a long time ago that this is what we're to do. We're to try to help the brokenhearted. We're brokenhearted people. Brokenhearted, why? Because I couldn't find salvation. And I was brokenhearted. Nowhere to turn. That's why I sympathize so much and empathize with Joyce's grandson. When you give up all hope, and there is no hope, and you know what? Suicide is not the answer. But what is there in life if I don't have find something to heal my broken heart? To proclaim release to the captives and liberation to those who are bound. Have you ever been under sin and knew you couldn't escape? No matter what you did, you couldn't escape. I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty. How do I get out of that? And Jesus said, I've come to cure that. I've come to release you. I've come to give you everything that you need. And look why. Look why. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Can you imagine the heartbreak that Jesus had as he overlooked Jerusalem and said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have taken you under my wings like a mother hen does her chickens? But you would not. That's sad. How many people are out there that Jesus said, I want you to come, 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 come. And people are saying, no, no, no. I'm scared to death of what this world, and I'm just trying to stay alive here. In Matthew 11:22, he says to them, Nevertheless, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. Why? Because they wouldn't accept the invitation from God. The invitation, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And everybody said, well, I'm so tired, but I'm going to go on being tired because I can't believe what Jesus says. In Luke 10:22, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. How many people do you think Jesus wanted to reveal the Father to them? All of them. Well, why weren't they? Because they wouldn't accept it. Our God is so gracious that he will not force anybody to do anything against their will. It's a choice. It's a decision that people have to make. In John 3:36, he says, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Let me ask you something. It's not enough to believe on the Son. You have to believe the Son. What he says, you have to believe. He's going to reveal it all to you. If you're getting your information anywhere else, you're getting it in the wrong place. And you have eternal life. Think of that. You know, Vanessa has been sick a long, long time. But with all of that, she has eternal life. Ricky hasn't been sick that long, but she has the joy now in her sickness that she has eternal life. I tell you what, that means everything to me and should mean everything to you. I hate pain and I hate separation and I hate all of that, and I'll be glad when I'm done with all of it. And we're going to heaven. It could well read, whoever believes and obeys the Son has eternal life. And whoever disobeys shall not even see life. Never to see life, only to see others with it, would be hell indeed. And to behold life and not have it is eternal punishment. Because you're a soul that has been lost. You're a soul that's all alone. You're a soul that will never see life. You have lost your soul. To be under the wrath of God is to be eternally cast away from God. And if you miss eternal life, you've lost it all. What decision will you make? Will you decide that you are going to follow Christ and let him reveal eternal life to you and be guided by that eternal life every day? You know what to do. Come on.